Coming up next, the wild and crazy Haas Outdoors.
In 95, I helped tow your trailer. And in 09, it was sparks from me, your chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
It is time for the Haas Outdoors, bringing you the news, how-to tips, where to travel, information on events, making fun of Yellowstone tourists, rambling on things don't make any sense, and just being a plain goofball. Here is your host, Charles Haas.
Good morning, Montana.
Good morning to you. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
Get your lazy butts out of bed. Wakey, wakey out there. It is 10:30 a.m. on a wonderful Monday morning. And for you ranchers,
welcome.
Another wonderful day in Moomoo Land. There, we got it that time, didn't we?
Okay, there. We got this.
Well, I tell you, this was sure a hot weekend.
It's still hot. I'm sweating right now. I'm sweating.
I'm surprised I didn't see a Twicker burst into flames. It was so hot outside.
Oh, gosh. It's miserable. I can't stand it. I hate over hot. I mean, I don't mind in the 80s. It's nice. But once it hits over 92 and more, screw that, man. There's zero moisture in this air. It's so dry. So dry.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. They're even having forest fires troubles in some states.
Yeah, that's definitely.
Like Arizona and I think California.
California.
Does Colorado and Wyoming have any fires yet you know of?
That I have not heard anything about, but you know what? You never know. I mean, a lot of everybody's out in the wilderness right now. There could be fires that they haven't even found yet, and God knows where. It's so sad, all those animals. Oh, man. I would never want to be stuck in a forest fire.
I have. I've done it.
Oh, I know. You used to fight those fires, but I'm just saying I'm literally out there camping, and there's a fire around me. You can't get out. Oh, scary.
I mean, there's just nothing like a big thrill of having a 500-foot flame coming roaring at you.
Only if you're a nutball. Or a pyro.
Nutball's more like it for me.
Probably.
A lot of people in the department thought I was crazy.
No.
Yeah.
They don't know you.
Oh, yeah. They had a bet going on if my name was going to be on that plaque down there in Colorado.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Good friends. Good times, huh? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know how they are. Those firefighters, they get crazy sometimes.
Yeah, well, anybody that jumps out of a perfectly good airplane into the middle of a fire is crazy.
I was actually offered to do that one time.
Smoke jumping?
Yeah.
That's nuts.
I was on a fire crew, and this guy came up to our truck and said, "Who's Charles Haas?" And everybody pointed at me. He said, "I like to have dinner with you. I'm going to have a talk with you." And he ended up being a fire crew chief for one of the smoke jumpers.
Oh, my gosh. No way, dude.
He heard about my reputation of being a firefighter and some of the stuff that I've done.
Nutball.
And he offered me that position.
And you turned it down?
Well, no, we went back to West Virginia because my ex-wife was, nobody here loves me anymore.
Kind of like you do now.
Worse than me.
I'm just kidding. That's horrible. I'm sorry. Oh, I'm going to hell.
You ought to hear you're in Harlow.
I know. Oh,
and it's hot outside.
The winter's so hot. When I die, I want someone to put an email out on my email and say, "Man, it's hot down here."
Well, what I want to talk about today is... What I want to talk about today... What I want to talk about today is, have you ever been out in the wilderness or gone on some kind of a trip and things just don't go too well?
Yeah, actually, there's been a few times.
I've actually wrote a book called Miss Outdoor Adventures.
And that means Miss Boo-Boos, Bloopers of Camping.
Yeah, the Boo-Boos of Camping, yes. And everything else.
All right. Well, what did it say?
Well, this one time I was going trapping. I was in junior high, and
you remember junior high?
Yeah.
Wow, that was a long time.
Well, you would remember this if it happened to you.
Long time ago.
I was probably about ninth grade, Yeah. Oops,
sorry. Meant to.
I was in ninth grade and I was out trapping. And we had a real bad ice storm that night. And in West Virginia state law, you had to check your trap lines every 24 hours.
Why were you out trapping in freezing weather?
Well, the pelts are a lot thicker then.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, we was walking past all these trap sets, and I had to walk around one of them because where the trail was messed up. I slipped and fell, and I landed right on my hind end on the top of the trap.
Goosed by a steel trap. Yeah, just a whole new kind of owie right there.
I started screaming like a little girl.
I wish I would have been there.
I jumped up. This trap was hanging off of me. I jerked steak and all out of the ground.
Did you bleed?
Huh?
Were you bleeding?
I couldn't see around that far. This friend of mine was laughing at me. I'm yelling, get it off of me, get it off of me. And he was laughing even harder. So finally, I got the trap off on myself. But I made him reset it.
Oh my gosh, ouch.
Then the next day,
you got bit in the butt by one of your own traps. That's karma for you right there.
Size 3 double cold spring trap.
I do not know what that is, but it does. I don't care what kind of trap it is.
About that big around.
Ouch! Okay, yeah, about a big around as one of a
cantaloupe.
Cantaloupes are like this big, dude. You're thinking like this big.
I'm talking about the West Virginia cantaloupe.
Oh. Okay, the softball-sized cantaloupe. Okay.
Okay. The next day, the funny part was this friend of mine fell and caught his arm in it.
Oh, ouch.
In the same trap.
Wow.
I left him there.
Bleeding to death?
Huh?
He's bleeding, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You left him there stuck in the trap by his arm.
Yeah, I said, nope.
Why?
Because he wouldn't help me the day before.
Oh, you're so mean. Good Lord. He only had one arm free. How was he supposed to get out of it?
He did.
Oh.
Because I was way up the other up end of the line when he got out. Because he came running up there screaming and cussing.
Yeah, I bet. I would have been doing the same thing.
Another time, I was muskrat trapping in a backwater near my house.
Muskrats. Oh, they're cute little tiny things. Little furry-looking, tailless beaver-looking things.
Yeah, them things.
Yeah.
Anyway, one of my traps I forgot to mark. You put little markers. I use little sticks, and you might make it look like nobody else could read what they were. Because,
right.
You know, these little animal rights groups or animal lovers will, you know, take them with them. Anyway, we had a real bad rain that night, and the water became muddy. So I had this harebrained idea of sticking my hands in the water trying to find the chain of the trap. My dad heard me. My dad heard me scream all the way up to the car, and he had windows up with the radio turned on, listening to it.
Wow! Ouch.
I had a bruise on my wrist for a long time.
I'll bet that hurt. Yeah.
Yes, it did. Yeah, it was.
Well, that's karma.
Yeah.
Just kidding. You weren't old enough to have any karma yet.
No, I was, like I said, I was, you know, I
ninth
was young.
Grade or something like
no,
that.
No, I was in 10th grade when that happened.
Oh, okay. High school.
Yeah, I was in, 10th grade high school. Yeah.
Sophomore.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll tell you, that was one heck of an experience.
Yeah. I don't think I ever want to go trapping. It doesn't sound very fun.
Well, I didn't have any mentors in school. We was learning out of books.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, all my friends, we had these trapping books in the library in school, and we was renting them all out or getting them loaned out, and we was reading every one that we could find. And plus, I had some trapping books of my own.
Well, there you go. That's one way to learn, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot easier way than having a mentor, but when you don't have one.
Yeah, that's true. I never had one of those either, but I lived in the city, so I lived in King County area in Washington State. They didn't do things like that.
Well, my family was, they ones that the hunting and trapping type.
Yeah, well, you were the newspaper type. I mean.
Yeah, they was all, you know,
business oriented.
Fishing and things like that. We didn't even go camping.
Oh, that sucks. We went camping a lot. I love camping.
I didn't go camping until I got like in junior high.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, I used to go camping with my overnight camping with my, in fourth, fifth grade with my friends, like, in the next, because behind my house there was a little, we had 2 acres of property, and then there was woods on part of our property, so my parents and my neighbor, I had a couple friends I grew up since second grade together, we would go and meet in the little wooded area behind my house, a couple acres out, and stay the night out there with just a bunch of kids, and had a blast, and get to make s'mores and stuff.
I actually used to go out camping by myself for 2 weeks at a time when I was in junior high and part of high school.
In the summer? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
One time during the winter, we had school cancellation for a week. The funny part was it was right after Christmas. We had a real bad snowstorm, and we was out of school for about a week.
Oh, wow.
I picked that tent up, went out in the woods, and stayed almost a week by myself.
They don't have snow days here, really, I've noticed. Here, yeah. You know, that my grandkids go to school no matter what the weather is, it seems.
Except when it gets down minus 10 or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, then they don't, but because the buses won't drive, you know.
Yeah. But back home, it gets 4 or 5 inches of snow on the ground, maybe less than that. They cancel school. And
they did that in Washington, too. It's snow! Nobody's going to school.
Yeah. Then it gets 12 inches of snow on the ground. They cancel everything.
And then we got to make it up at the end of the year and have more school time. School makeup days.
They would declare the state emergency and bring the National Guard out. And
oh, my gosh. That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, I went camping one time during the snowstorm. One of our weeks off.
Right.
I woke up next morning and the zip of the tent was froze.
You can't get out? Would you use a lighter? Or?
No, I breathed on the zipper.
Yeah, you do that, and then you can also use they have those little portable battery operated heat lamp things. You know, like for in your camper, like a little battery operated heater.
They didn't have those back then.
Oh, you were in junior high.
Talking about the 1980s.
Oh yeah, I flame. You probably have to take something and heat it up with a lighter or something and set it on there and breathe on. With you having as much hot air as you have, it probably did unthaw the zipper.
Yeah, I
really well, within 3.5 seconds, boom.
I'm not going to argue with that one, but I did get it unthawed and I got out, and it was about 6-7 inches of snow on the ground.
Oh my gosh, Burr.
On top of what we already had. Wow. It was close to a foot.
Wow, that's not a lot, but that's good.
Well, back there, that's a lot of snow.
Is it? Oh, okay. Because here it's
That's a little dusty.
Yeah, it's dusty out. Oh, snow, a little flurry last night.
And like I said, Monday they canceled school, and looked at the weather report, and we saw it was going to be all week long be snowing.
Right.
And I would just pack up my camping gear, my winter camping gear I had, and just take off and go out in the woods and stay until time to go back to school.
Wow.
Yeah, everybody thought I was a Daniel Boone / David Crockett type person.
Yeah, I would imagine, or Grizzly Adams or something like that.
Yeah. Because I've actually gone out there and shot my own stuff and ate it.
Wow.
Over a fire, like squirrels and things like that.
Well, grouse. I know this doesn't have anything, but did you see that movie Without a Paddle?
Yeah.
So you're like Burt Reynolds up there. Squirrel. Bacon. Nope. Squirrel. Squirrel.
Yeah.
Get up, you pervert, she says. For I make you a mantle piece. that was a good movie.
One time I went camping with this friend of mine. He was talking about how much he liked to camp and those kind of things. We decided to make a hunting trip out of it. And every time a twig would snap, he'd wake me up and ask me, what is it?
I don't know.
And sometime during the night, this whitetail buck came up on his side of the tent, and you can see the shadow.
Oh, wow. That'd probably be really cool.
I woke him up and said, hey, look. He looked up and started screaming. Jumped out of the tent with his squirrel hunting gun and started randomly shooting in the woods and just literally screaming.
Oh, my gosh. Over a deer?
Yeah, he didn't know what it was at first.
Oh, my gosh. That is... I don't even have a word for that. I'm sorry.
Well, the next day, this guy almost caught the campsite on fire.
And this is a man.
Yeah.
See, I don't feel so bad then.
Yeah, it's not a woman.
Oh, well.
Okay, his mouth was closed half the time anyway.
You know what? Not everything that's a woman or a female has their mouth open.
No, that's not what I heard.
Oh, well, you heard wrong. You pay attention too much to hearsay.
But it's funny, though.
It is funny.
Well, anyway, I went out hunting for a little bit while he stayed in camp, and he started screaming for me. And I went up there, and the campsite was on fire.
What is he trying to do? Make coffee? I mean, what?
No, he built the fire too big, and the spark went over into the leaves.
Oh, it was a fire, like a fire at the campsite of the ground, not your stuff.
Right.
Oh, crap.
Lucky I knew how to put those out, so I got the fire out.
Dirt.
Yeah, well, actually, I used a shovel.
Shoveling dirt, right?
No, I was just kind of, you know, patting the fire. Okay. And,
You can dig it dirt up and just cover it and muck it out, too, and then stomp it after that.
Oh, you can do that, but I didn't. I just pat on top and I got it out. And that night, he set the campfire site on again.
good friends, good times, yeah.
Yeah. He was a major moron.
I was just trying to be nice. I'm all good times, good friends.
Well,
I didn't say that.
Another time we went camping, a few years later we went camping again, or after I came back from Montana the first time. We were there for a summer job, which I'll tell you here in a more minute. He got really drunk off of Mad Dog 2020.
2020, people! 2020. Yeah.
And he's walking around camp cussing every girlfriend he ever had in his entire life, which this is pretty long. And he was roasting marshmallows. And he dropped one off the stick. He reached down to pick it up, and it fell right into the fire rear end first. Lucky the fire wasn't big, because my campfire is...
Oh, you know, I had a friend in high school that literally loved to run through our bonfires that we'd have down at the river when we have river parties. This guy was notorious to be our bonfire runner. He wouldn't matter. He would just literally run, like, through it.
Yeah, I've seen people
when
like that.
He got drunk.
Anyway, crazy. He was like, help me up, man. I can't get up. I'm laughing at him because he didn't feel anything.
Oh, well,
he put the fire when he fell on it. That's how small it was.
He put it out when he fell on it?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
On my cook fires, I like to make it really small. That way you don't burn anything.
Right.
Anyway, I finally got him calmed down. He went to bed. Woke up the next morning and said, man, my butt hurts. And I said,
There is a majority of reasons why that could be.
I said, you thawed on a fire last night. No, I didn't. I said, yes, you. I said, go check back your pants. Your pants was burnt still.
Oh, my gosh.
And he had a pair of sweatpants on, too. You know how he's in. He went to the outhouse.
There's no denying that.
He went to the outhouse they had there in the campsite.
Yeah.
You can hear him literally scream he saw his pants.
Wow. He probably had a big burn on his butt. He probably looked in the mirror or something.
Well, I didn't look.
Oh, my gosh.
I didn't want to look.
Yeah, I wouldn't have wanted either, but still, ouch. Ouch.
Then another time I went camping with the same guy. He got kicked out of the campground because he cut a tree down in the campground site.
I think that's against the law.
Yeah, and there was a park ranger stationed beside of us in the campground.
Okay, that friend is retarded.
Well, let's just say I quit camping.
Oh, excuse me. That is not an appropriate thing. He's mentally challenged.
Yeah, we're going to call it mentally challenged.
Okay, thank you.
But he got kicked out of the campground because of that. He had the only transportation there. We took his vehicle instead of mine.
So he got kicked out, and then you guys were kind of stuck.
We had to go with him.
Oh, y'all had to leave.
And that was on the first night.
Yeah, that sucks. I'm sorry.
Yes, well, I ended up quit camping with him after that.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Yeah.
The third time's not a charm with him, I don't think.
No, it's more like about the third time. You know, I just can't
do it
anymore.
Third time you ain't getting out. Third time you're a goner.
You know, speaking of, you know, this campfire stuff, when I was a wildland firefighter, that was, like, the most experiencing job I ever had, and I really liked it. Like, one night, I was in a fire camp. I wanted to sleep outside like I do, like, in old Western movies, just look under the stars and kind of, you know, be the macho man of the wilderness.
Like John Wayne of the wilderness.
Yeah, you know, David Crockett, those kind of things. And one time, some during the night, I don't remember what day it was, but I slept 5 days on the ground.
I like sleeping on the ground. I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, but something started licking me on the face one night. I thought it was a ranch dog because there's a lot of ranches around there. Just wait until I finish telling the story.
Oh, shit.
And I kept pushing it away and trying to roll over. And this animal kept being persistent and licking me on the mouth and nose and stuff. I woke up, I was nose to a black bear.
Oh, hey, how's it going? Oh, wow.
See, I'm not afraid of bears, which none of the wild people think I'm crazy. And I just sat up and started talking to like a dog, like I do Spinner.
Yeah.
And a bear backed off and left.
I talk to my dogs like they're humans.
Yeah.
I think they understand.
Well, that bear did too because he backed away from me and left.
Well, that was nice. Were you just having like a normal conversation? What's up, dude? Are you chilling?
Or... Come on, little buddy. Come on. Let's deal with the boy. And things like that. You know, like I do Spinner. Anyway.
Just like me talking to Blue. Oh, my Blue. My Blue. My Zha Zha Boo Boo. That's what I call my female dog, my Zha Zha Boo Boo.
Anyway, the next day, the rancher, or not the ranchers, the Forestry Service guys came around.
It was a cow, people. It was not a bear.
They were trying to find out if anybody had seen the black bear that came into camp. And they came to our truck and asked the ranch, or Did I go about the ranch?
What is your deal with the ranch?
I don't know.
You need some pizza and ranch? I mean, you like ranch? Ranch on the brain or what?
I used to work on a couple of them.
Oh, okay. All right.
Anyway.
I'm like, what in the hell?
The guy from the Forestry Service came around and asked our foreman, crew chief foreman, if he'd seen any bears. And he laughed and pointed his finger at me and said, ask him.
Yeah, I kissed one. I actually made out with your bear, bro.
And I told the ranch. Here I go again. I told the Forestry Service guy
that you're making out with a bear.
That what had happened, and he started laughing. He said, he probably smelled that Snickers and Milky Way bar on your breath. Because we was eating Milky Way bars and Snickers for like a couple of days before they brought a decent cook in.
Oh, wow.
We was having Snickers and Milky Way. We had Snickers in the morning. We had Milky Way at lunchtime. And at dinner time, we had Milky Way and Snickers at the same time.
That's all you ate for days was candy bars?
A couple of days. We didn't have a good camp cook.
Oh,
okay. They ended up putting him out.
Why didn't you just cook? You can cook.
We couldn't have any open flames in camp.
Oh.
This is a firefighter camp.
Oh, okay.
And the mess hall cook, they got rid of, brought one in, who was a really good cook, and you know where I was hanging out at breakfast and at dinner time?
In the kitchen. The mess hall.
Right there at the door.
Yeah.
With a plate hanging at, you know, big old smile.
Right out of your chin going, cookie, this is why we sing to you. Remember in camp we used to sing that song?
I didn't go to camp.
You didn't go to youth sick camp? There was a song called Cookie that we'd sing.
I've heard about it,
cooks.
But
it was like, cookie, this is why we sing to you.
I had my own camp, so I didn't worry about, you know.
Anyone can make a bed, anyone can sweep, but it takes a cook like you to make us things to eat. So cookie, there's no other way to sing to you. I remember all my sixth grade camp. I had a blast in sixth grade camp. It was really, actually a very positive experience for me.
Yeah.
I had fun.
Now, the ranch I was talking about before, I worked at the summer 95, and my very first time coming to Montana.
Story.
Yeah, very first time coming to Montana, I was scared to death. I didn't know what the heck was going to happen. Didn't know what was going to do or anything, because I never worked on a ranch before. My work back then.
How old were you then?
25.
25, okay.
I didn't start drinking alcohol. I didn't start drinking alcohol until I came here.
Well, I would imagine nobody does till they come here. There's nothing else to do.
Anyway, I started working on his ranch.
Ranch or drink beer, one or the other.
Yeah, and all these weird things started happening. Like, we had an employee at the lodge. The guy had a ranch, dude ranch there, and he had like a lodge.
Yeah.
And, you know, they did cattle drives. They took people on hunting and fishing trips. And, you know, it was kind of a fun place. They had the bar there, too. That was my first experience. But I was repairing a fence from an employee wrecked a Jeep. She flipped it over the hill. She was speeding with it and lost control on the dirt roads. And over the hill she went, and I saw the wreck happen.
Oh, man.
I actually rescued her from the truck, or from that Jeep.
Oh, Superman.
Yeah. And, well, they had me to fix the fence. And I was fixing the fence. Got the last stitch of barbed wire done. And all of a sudden I heard, boom. And I looked up into this truck coming down the hillside.
And you heard a boom? Was like a snap of a fence?
No, it was jumped out of gear.
Oh, okay.
They didn't tell me the emergency gear or emergency brake didn't work.
Oh, until after there was no one in the Jeep.
No, I was driving.
Oh my God!
The hurricane comes right by me.
Right coming toward you. You're like, what the hell?
No, it went right by me. I was trying to scream.
Poltergeist.
I started chasing the truck. I was trying to grab a hold of it.
Oh my gosh!
The truck went right through the fence where I was working at.
It's like right where you just were.
Right down below where I was working at.
Oh, my gosh.
And they heard it crash, and they heard me screaming, crept to the lodge. I was cussing.
Oh, my God.
And this fishing guide came by. He just driving by. He was going to go fishing. Right. But, you know, just off his off time. And he stopped and said, you okay? And I couldn't speak. I just pointed down the hill. Well, this guy looked at the truck and started laughing. They thought I was in the truck that went through the fence. That's why they came down and was all panicking.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, the ranch owner and the foreman was at another ranch doing some work. They called him and told him what happened. He goes, oh boy. So they dropped what they were doing, came back to the ranch, and saw that the the truck was still over the hill.
Oh my gosh.
And I was on another fence line repairing it because I wanted to do something else, get my mind off of things.
Yeah.
The ranch foreman called me on the radio and said, hey Charles, are you okay? You can tell he's trying to keep from laughing.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, I'm okay. So come on up to the barn. They said, we want to check on you. So, okay. I went up to the barn, and the ranch owner and the foreman were just dogging me about
it. Just cracking up.
They was rolling. And one of the employees who used to write music wrote a song called Chucky Wrecked a Truckee and sung and sung at the lodge in front of gas.
Chucky Wrecked a Truckee. Oh my God.
Oh, wow. It is time for some news. I'm hoping some of y'all are still awake out there. Okay, Frida, take it away.
The Governor's Grizzly Bear Advisory Council,
hey, boo-boo,
is coming online August 5th to work on its final recommendations. The Citizen Advisory Council is scheduled to meet through video conference from noon to 4 p.m. August 5th. Necessary action items to finalize its report for Governor Steve Bullock. The council's latest draft recommendations are loaded online under the July 21st to 22nd meeting section. The pandemic meant a shift to online meetings starting in March, and all of the meetings have been live streamed and have made sure to allow time for and seek public input. To date, more than 16,000 public comments have been received on the council's work, and the input from July 2019 and May is posted online at fwp.montana.gov/GBAC. Governor Bullock appointed the 18 Montana citizens from across the state with a diversity of views and commitment to working together on the future of grizzly bears in Montana. Since being appointed, the council has reviewed the history of grizzly bear recovery and conservation in Montana. Interagency, management efforts, legal considerations, and grizzly bear distribution. Populations continue to expand in Montana into some areas that they have not occupied for decades.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Hunting season.
For bears. Sean Johnson and Heather Stokes from the University of Montana Center of Natural Resources and Environmental Policy, say that in one breath, program have facilitated to progress and worked with council members and technical science support team to organize meetings.
They won't work with me because I keep yelling hunting season.
For more information on the council, visit fwp.montana.gov/GBAC.
And it should be Boo Boo and Yogi on there.
Da-da. Okay, now, on to other issues. I'm just playing. Okay. Warm water temperatures on the Sun River have prompted Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks to close fishing from 2 p.m. to midnight daily, starting immediately until conditions improve. The Hoot Owl closure on the Sun covers from Highway 287 Bridge to the mouth of Muddy Creek west of Great Falls. FWP's drought policy provides for angling closures when flows drop below critical levels for fish, when water quality is diminished, or when maximum daily water temperatures reach at least 73 degrees for three consecutive days. Wow, that's probably not good for the fish.
No, it kind of like cuts off their oxygen.
Yeah, poor little guys. Water temperatures have exceeded 73 degrees the last 6 days. Oof. And flow levels are currently below the recommended maximum flow of 220 cubic feet per second and the absolute recommended minimum flow of 130 CFS. Necessitating the closure.
Yeah, the trout in that kind of condition can't live.
Yeah, that's just crazy. That I don't think that's the probably lost a lot of fish. It's too hot.
Well, the carp and suckers and catfish and several others can live in that, bass. But the trout is kind of warm. They're cold weather fish.
Yeah, they are.
Cold water fish, not cold weather.
Cold water fish. They preferred water temperatures for rainbow and brown trout is about 55 to 57 degrees, like we were saying. Temperatures of 77 degrees or more can be lethal to trout. FWP officials said one of the best short-term strategies to address heat-induced stress is Montana's wild and native trout is to reduce catch and release mortality by alerting anglers to fish only in the morning. Remember that, guys, only in the morning when it's cool. Fishing only in the cool morning hours can help, says Jason Mullen, FWP Region 4 fisheries biologist. This is his quote. We're trying to minimize additional stress on wild trout during this summer of high temperatures and low flows.
Go.
This is really important among catch and release anglers who should reel in their catch and release it as fast as possible. Reducing the time on line can really help the survival of trout this time of year. For details on all emergency anglers' restrictions and other drought updates, go to the FWP homepage at fwp.montana.gov and click drought and fire updates. And that is the end of my story.
Campfires will be banned on all fishing, wildlife, and park properties within Stillwater County starting Thursday morning on July 30th, 2020 because of fire danger. Stage 1 restrictions ban campfires except where especially exempt and allow smoking only in vehicle areas within 3 feet in diameter that is cleared from flammable material. The FWP has no exemption on campfires, charcoal grills, and fishing access sites and wildlife management areas south central Montana. People may use LP gas propane stoves that can be turned on and off. Effective July 30th at 12:01 a.m., Bighorn County entered Stage 1 fire restrictions. Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks following county leads in placing fire restrictions on its properties within the county. So campfire and smoking restrictions have been in place in Rosebud Battlefield State Park. All the restrictions are the same as the last county that I've read about. These restrictions at the FWP site will be placed until further notice. FWP urges people to use caution while they are out recreating due to dry conditions and fire dangers.
If you're with an outdoor organization, like to share some news, or want to brag about a hunting and fishing trip you was on, or just want to ramble on something about hunting and fishing, please email me at hawsoutdoors@treasurestateradio.com. That's all the time we have, folks. Thank you for listening in. This is Goofy Charles Hawes and Treasure State Radio saying so long and be safe out there.